Shocker, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. I'll echo all of those sentiments and wishing John a happy birthday. I wish I could be there to celebrate with you guys. I'm still in the U.S., though. I'm spending a couple of days here in L.A., but John was, yeah, man, I grew up listening to John Short every single night,
yep.
Falling asleep to his show, you know, staying up way later than I should, and listening to him every single night. He was just, and he's one of the reasons why I got in the industry, too. He just totally piqued my interest in it, and yeah, it was just such a huge part of the sports scene through all of those years, and such a big part of it. And then when I moved to Edmonton and got to start working here and covering the Oilers and seeing him in press box and got to meet him in person, he was so gracious and so decent to young journalists coming up in the business, and just yeah, absolutely the standard for all of us young guys that were coming up. And so I think what you did today was awesome, and I commend you for it. And happy birthday to John.
Well, thanks, Shocker. Yeah, he was an absolute beauty. Still a great guy, and I'm happy to call him a friend. All-Star Game, you were down there. Tell me about it. What was your takeaway from it?
Well, I read what you wrote today about it, and I tend to agree with you a little bit. I mean, people want to pile on and kind of analyze the crap out of the competitive level of it, and I mean, I get it. We need to evaluate whether it's worth it or not. We need to evaluate if there's a way to make it better. They need to keep trying to push to make it better, but I think there comes a certain point where you can't really expect much more from these guys. I mean, like the compressed schedule the way it is, and then if you see the pace they're put through when they get here, I mean, it's like event after event and glad handing, and you know, and then they want to be able to relax. They can't make it a grueling nightmare for the players that come to All-Star either, so they need to have a little bit of fun too and blow off some steam. And it's like I just don't know what you can expect from those guys come Sunday, and it's not for the hardcore hockey fan that, you know, breaks every game down. That's not really what the All-Star Game is about. It's about sponsorships, and it's about putting their stars on display, and it's about kids. And so I don't want to get too deep into analyzing the game. I mean, the first game was boring. Second game was kind of boring. Last 10 minutes of the third game was fine. But that's always what we say at the All-Star Game. So I'm not going to go too far in criticizing things because I just don't have that high an expectation of these guys. I've been to enough of these things to know it.
Well, to me, your expectations should be nothing as far as competitiveness, and it's the expectations of the players to try to promote their game. They go to a lot of these fan fest things, and really, the All-Star Game for me is for young fans and then parents who have young fans who want to watch the game, and then the host city, because those fans get the opportunity, and this year was obviously very unique because you had all the, you know, the top 100, all the players who were alive, I think, all came back for that, and, you know, there was a lot of name recognition in town. That's usually not the case.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, the host city, those fans love it, right? They go, they watch the skills competition, they watch the game, kids up close get to see. Like, I had my my friend's 10-year-old son tell me, how awesome was it seeing Crosby and Ovechkin together? Imagine if they played in a real game, right? And that's how kids think, because that's what the All-Star Game should be, is to see two players who you know are never going to play together suddenly on the ice together.
Right, and that's the thing. So whether it's the kids that are in the stands or the kids that are watching on TV, the idea is you put the stars of the game on display and you put them out there for fans to see. You try and give them an opportunity to have a little bit of personality shine through. You try to, you know, give fans an opportunity to see something that you don't see through an 82-game schedule. And, you know, they kind of do the best they can with it. And, I mean, there's other elements from the past I thought were neat wrinkles, whether it was the players themselves drafting their teams or you know, some of the trick shootout stuff, like some of it worked, some of it didn't, but I'm okay with them shuffling it around and trying different things. So, I mean, this year, I think we all agree that the shooting from the four lines is kind of it was a little bit of a dud on the skills side of things. And it ended up being, felt like I was watching Black Aces practice, 'cause that's what they do. They just sit there and shoot from each line and try and hit the crossbar. So I don't know, maybe they'll adjust and move on for next year, but I mean, if the kids enjoyed it and the kids got to see cool things and having the top 100 in town, as many of them as possible, it was just a who's who around the hotel. Holy smokes. You couldn't walk 10 feet without bumping into one of the greatest hockey players of all time. It was unbelievable. So it was a very special event that way. didn't quite have the same buzz from a city standpoint as last year. Like, Nashville was on fire last year, and it was awesome. LA Live is a good spot, but it didn't really get the sense that the city was grabbing hold of it the way they did last year in Nashville.
Yeah, well, Nashville, totally different area, right? Smaller for sure. I think
they just do it there every year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You probably wouldn't have any complaints from the players. That's for sure. It's not. It's Nash Vegas for a reason. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, wait till they put it in Vegas in about 5 years.
Yeah. One of the things that was good about this year's All-Star game. I mean, with Gretzky having taking the job as the ambassador in the centennial season, like. I'm sure you've noticed because you're around the rink a lot, but Wayne's just around a lot more. He's at the rink more. He's at games more. He's around the room more. And he was kind of ever present this week too. He was a big part of all of this, stepping into coach when Torts couldn't and bringing coffee along. He jumped up on stage and had a chat with Cooper Gooding Jr. during that availability. Like, Gretzky was just very much part of everything that was going on this weekend. And that was cool. I like the fact that he's around more because the league spent a long period of time where he wasn't really a big part of it. He was kind of on the sidelines while they were getting their business deals worked out and while they were getting some financial stuff sorted out between him and the league. He wasn't front and center at all. And I think the league missed him. So you see him, I mean, basically he just takes over that press conference with Mario Lemieux, Bobby Orr, and Wayne Gretzky. And he just runs the thing with such smoothness and makes it funny. And it just neat to see Wayne on that biggest scale again, taking center stage.
Well, he's definitely be more involved in the league. The fact that I think he's with an organization has something to do with it. He's also the spokesperson for the NHL 100 anniversary season. So, yeah. You know what? And he lived up to it. So good for him. I'm not sure if you'll see Gretzky that involved moving forward, which is kind of a disappointment because still when Wayne Gretzky's involved, people pay attention and they're like, wow, there's, you know, the greatest offensive player. And in my books, the greatest player the NHL has ever seen. Now the Oilers start some call it the second half of the season, whatever you want to call it. They got 31 games remaining and they're in legitimate playoff push and a legitimate push for potential home ice advantage. It's something very different. I know the players are obviously very excited about it. What do you expect from the Oilers? And did that West Coast trip before the All-Star break maybe change your perception of the team?
Well, it did a little bit. It did a little bit because what we've talked about a lot is the fact that they were able to pick up lots of points in soft spots in their schedule, and they were able to take care of things when the schedule gave them an opportunity. And yet that to me was, I mean, that was some tough scheduling, back-to-back nights against those two teams. Now they've had a little bit of rest, but still, to me that it almost changed the narrative a little bit. And I think maybe in some people's minds, it went from, are the Oilers safely into a playoff spot where people can start talking about them like they're going to be in the playoffs? Can Oiler fans feel safe, assuming they're going to make it, and talking about such? It changed from that to Oiler fans legitimately wondering, can they win the division? Flat out, can they win the division? And going into those two cities and beating those two teams with the exclamation point they did it with, I think the Oilers made a bit of a statement that they're not just looking to squeeze in to the playoffs. They're looking to take the division. And they've got a tough month ahead of them. But if they can come through this month in decent shape and then get a whole pile of home games where they've shown they can take control, we could be talking about a team that legitimately is going to contend for this division.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shog, a quick one. You look at the Oilers down the stretch, and we are now under 5 weeks from the trade deadline. It'll be 4 weeks on Wednesday, and people get excited. They look at things. What do you expect Chiarelli to do in the next 4 weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple of schools of thought here, and I'm not sure. We almost need to have that availability with him when we close in on the trade deadline just to try and get a bit of a sense for what he's thinking, because there's a couple schools of thought here. He's made a lot of changes on this roster in the last year, and you almost want to just let them all settle in and really figure out what you've got over a longer period of time. And maybe they're clearly good enough to make the playoffs, so maybe he lets them get in and lets it ride and sees what he's got. and they consider it a success to make the playoffs, maybe go a round or two and see what they've got, right? I could understand if they want to do that. Option B is identify a couple of realistic needs that can be filled at the deadline and spend a little bit of assets trying to fill those needs. So third line center. Potentially, if you can't find the center, maybe you go with a winger. Gives you some versatility on where you play Draisaitl. It's a need that they have. So maybe you look at it like it's a realistic need that can get filled. You go out and do it. The third option is, and this is where the big picture comes in, right? You only have Draisaitl and McDavid on entry-level deals for this season and next season. And then everything changes. And a lot of the dynasty-type teams or the really, really good teams, whether it's Chicago or Pittsburgh, or a lot of these teams won with their stars right on or just coming out of entry level. You got to make some hay when you've got these franchise players on a good dime. So maybe Peter needs to evaluate it and go, look, this year, next year, the year after, that is a huge part of the window and you need to get something done. So if the bigger deal is there to be made, maybe you need to be aggressive and not just be content to get in this year and see what happens. I don't know where his head is at. I don't know what he's thinking. If I were them, I'd be going with option B, which is to solidify their lineup a little bit without selling the farm and see where it takes them.
Yeah, I don't expect him to sell the farm by any stretch. I could see one or two moves. Obviously, it depends kind of what happens. Do you injuries, everything else like that. Do you think he adds a veteran backup? Do you think it's that important?
Well, I mean, we've seen that it can be important, or it might not be. I mean, really, it just all depends on luck. Cam Talbot has shown he can take an incredible workload. You know, he doesn't have a lot of miles on him as a goaltender, and if he stays healthy, they'll get away with not having to. But if the worst happens, then they'll absolutely wish that they did if they don't. So Laurent Bressois is going to get some looks through this tough month here, but he certainly doesn't have the experience level they need to be able to rely on him in a playoff stretch or into the actual playoffs. It's a risk not to, but at the same time, it costs you assets to go out and do it. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. I mean, do you risk that Talbot's just going to be fine? Assume that he's been healthy this whole, and unless something freakish happens, I definitely wouldn't be doing anything until the absolute last minute, the absolute trade deadline. And if there's somebody there that's good to go, and he's only going to cost you a mid-round pick, then maybe you just do it to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Bressois plays. I think his starts in the month of February. I'm guessing he's going to start this Friday in Carolina. I assume we'll see Talbot Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, and then we'll go from there. Schauger, we'll see you at the rink tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, buddy.
Ryan Rashog from TSN, the Rashog.